Could we just bow in a word of prayer, please, before we turn to God's truth? O God, our Heavenly Father, I pray that to each one of us will be given a heart and a spirit appropriate to this occasion. O God, let us not celebrate without true rejoicing and a wholehearted honouring of God for His kindness to us throughout 40 years. O Lord, bless us now, I ask, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Please turn to a verse in Acts chapter 19 that is the key verse around which our words marking the 40th anniversary will be centered. This morning we want to speak upon the beginning of a biblical witness, and then tonight I want to speak upon the battle to maintain a biblical witness. The verse in Acts chapter 19 is the verse 9. Here is Paul, and he's in Ephesus, generally agreed to be one of the best, if not the best, of the New Testament churches. And here is how it all began. It had a small beginning, just a handful of disciples were banded together. Verse 7 tells us that. And all the men were about 12. Just 12 men. I would be inclined to think, of course, the number would have been bigger when we consider that wives likely were there. Maybe not all of the men were married, but I'm sure that some of them were. And there were children as well. The New Testament church always began like that. Men, women, and children. With this little group, Paul spoke for 3 months in the local Jewish synagogue, telling them that the Lord Jesus Christ was the promised Messiah. I'd love to have been in one of those meetings, would you not? As Paul went through the old prophets and showed from their utterances how that the Lord Jesus fulfilled all that was said about the promised Messiah. Well, for 3 months, I say, he spake boldly, it says in verse 8, disputing and persuading. That tells you something of the nature of a true ministry. Disputing and persuading. And at the end of 3 months, a division arose. Having considered what Paul said, there were those who turned their back upon it. Verse 9, remember this is the key verse that we will center our remembrances of God's goodness to us here in Kilskerry upon. Verse 9 reads, but when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them. Now these individuals were there from the very beginning of the 3 month period. They were always there. But Paul was quite happy to be there witnessing, even though there were these men, we'll presume they were just men, that was the way of the matters then, the men folk led in the affairs of the synagogue, even though there were men. And Paul would have known from the beginning there were men opposed to the gospel. But he continued on the witness until these men began to speak out, and speak against the gospel. They spake evil of that way before the multitude. So they began to deny what Paul was saying, and to speak evil of Jesus Christ and the doctrines of the gospel. When that happened, look what Paul did. He departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. There we have the New Testament precedent for how Christians should act when they encounter opposition to the gospel of Jesus Christ to the extent that there is a blaspheming of God and His truth. You don't tolerate it. You don't submit to it. You don't remain in the company of such. But in order to maintain a pure witness, you withdraw and take with you all who are prepared to stand for the Lord Jesus. That's what happened 40 years ago here in Kilskerry. I want to start what I have to say this morning by quoting from the psalmist again. This time it's the Psalm 78. And I'm going to read verses 2 to 7. And I want the little ones in particular to prick up their ears and listen. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Here is how God maintains his witness. It's centered upon his law, his testimony, his truth, his word. It is a continuation of the teaching of his word. Everything else kept at bay. And whenever anything threatens the teaching of his word, then there must be a withdrawing in order to maintain the teaching of his word. Please study, you young people in particular, please study that Psalm 78 and the verses that I read to you, and see how God would have us maintain his truth. How important it is for our children to hear and to understand the reasons for the steps that were taken some 40 years ago by those who are now the older generation, and that led to the beginning of this witness here. I have to emphasize that this work here did not begin because we just wanted to have our own little group. It didn't start here because we wanted to spite the Methodists or the Presbyterians or the Church of Ireland. That would be no basis for starting a church. But rather, I believe there was a following, an obeying of the teaching of God's precious word, and that principle that is set down in Acts 19 and the verse 9, and which is reiterated somewhat, expounded, enlarged upon in the verses that I read to you from Psalm 78. I want to say today, first of all, that the motivation for the commencement of this witness here was of God. It was of God. You see, the desire to start the work here sprang from the moving of the Spirit of God in this district. That's the root of the work that there is here now. God was pleased, 40 years ago and more, God was pleased to trouble souls in this area about salvation. Now, by and large, I think I would be right in saying that those God troubled were not the keenest of churchgoers. They were not those who frequented gospel meetings. But by and large, they were those whose daily life was void of any thought of God, really. But into that godless heart, there came an anxiety, a concern for their souls, and a desire to understand what God had to say about salvation. So I am saying to you from the very beginning of this message this morning that the Holy Ghost was the one who stirred hearts. And might I just say this and say it to you all, if the Holy Ghost brought us together, what spirit is it that divided us? Let all contemplate that. The work here has its origins over in Lisbalaw, where in 1967 the Free Presbyterian congregation there began. Mr. and Mrs. Hugh Gallagher, who lived just about 3 miles away, were foundation members of the Lisbalaw congregation. Mr. and Mrs. John Lone and their daughter Ivy were very early members of the congregation there in Lisbalaw, and we know they only the Lone household is only what, a mile and a half away. Also, the Dunn family and the Vance family from this area were also early attenders in the Lisbalaw church. In 1968, Dr. Paisley had a mission in Omagh, and it was there that Mr. Ivan Morrison was brought under gospel influence and was saved. I held a mission in Balnamallard, I think it was 1970, and it was at that mission that Ivan Morrison came into contact with the witness and work in Lisbalaw. And very, very soon he was joined by his father and his mother and his sister Jennifer, and all three were brought to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Others from the Kilskerry area were likewise brought under the gospel and saved through the Lisbalaw witness. Our dear sister, who is now set aside by illness, Mrs. Sadie McKinley, was a key instrument. She was converted in a mission I was running in Springfield, which is the far side of Enniskillen. Another area, I might say, that there was a stirring by the Spirit of God in a number of families, the Fergusons, the Scots. And there's another family I'm struggling to recall that also came from that area and associated themselves with the work and witness in Lisbalaw. Dr. Paisley was preaching the particular night that Mrs. Sadie McKinley was saved. But as soon as she got saved, she began to work on her friends and her family here in the Kilskerry area, for she lived here. And very soon, her brother Jackie and his wife Barbara and their family were brought under the saving influence of the gospel and joined the work and witness in Lisbalaw. At the same time, Mrs. McKinley's daughter, Renee, and her husband, George Somerville, were saved. In that mission in Balnamallard that I mentioned, Mrs. Black, old Mrs. Black, the late Mrs. Black, and her son William were converted. I was talking to William a week or so ago, and I asked him about it, and he clearly recalled that and clearly declared, yes, I got saved there. Mrs. Black's daughter, Dorothy, along with her husband, Robert, Mr. and Mrs. Edwards, they also were converted at this time. Now, these conversions in such a small area as Kilskerry, as you can imagine, we're talking about a little hamlet that the core of which is about 20 houses, and such a spiritual stirring amongst families living in and around Kilskerry naturally had an impact upon this district. An impact indeed. So I'm trying to emphasize and press upon you the fact that the work here began as a result of the working of the Holy Ghost. Not ambitions on the part of some Free Presbyterian who wanted to expand the boundaries of the denomination. No, sir. No, sir. Now, amongst those who were thus saved here in the Kilskerry area, there arose a desire to provide for themselves and for their neighbours a place where God's word would be preached in the area. Because having been made aware of their own lost condition and how that salvation was found not as they had been believing up until that time, vaguely believing that it was going to church and trying to be good and things of that nature. That's how you got to heaven. And if you tried your best, well, when you stood before God, these things would be weighed up and the chances are you'd get into heaven. And they discovered this was all a lie. That's not the teaching of the Bible. And it is a lie to say that by your baptism, by your confirmation, by your church attendance, by your church membership, by your giving to the church, that's how you get to heaven. That's a lie. That's not what the gospel says. And here is a people just awakened and stirred by a spirit of revival. And they're alive to the gospel now, and they're conscious of the fact we have just had a great deliverance from deception. But what about all our friends? What about all our relations who are still held in this darkness? We've got to do something for them. And it was a burden to preach the cross of Christ and point to it that really gave rise to the construction of the first little hall here. A desire that there might be a place that would sound out the gospel, for there was no place sounding out the gospel in the immediate area. So banding together, they immediately sought a place where they could meet right away. It would take time to build a hall, but right away we got to find a place to meet. They were driven to pray. Oh friend, are you driven to pray? Does prayer meeting night see you driven to the place of prayer? Does prayer meeting night see you striving during the day to get all the work done in order to have time to come to the place of prayer? Well, that's how it was here, with men and women who never had been in a prayer meeting, hadn't a notion of what took place in a prayer meeting, but there was on their hearts now a desire to commune with God. They sought and obtained Feglish Orange Hall, not that far away from here. What, 3 miles? 4 miles? It would hardly even be that. And there they met to pray. I might just say that thus began the links with Kilskerry for the Dane family. For I remember Mr. Basil Dane saying to me on one occasion, I was minister in Bethel and he was attending there. Indeed, all the people were linked, not to Bethel, but to Lisbalaw. And I remember him saying to me, I like them down to the prayer meeting in Kilskerry because they're all like me, just beginners. Everybody in the Lisbalaw prayer meeting, and it was a very lively prayer meeting in Lisbalaw, I have to say. In fact, the Lisbalaw prayer meeting reached the stage where we had to have 2 prayer meetings in the week, and we used to have one on a Tuesday, and we had another one on a Thursday. But he said to me, I like them down there because they're all beginning just like me, and I don't feel quite so overwhelmed. So a prayer meeting was started, as was also a children's meeting. Miss Ivy Lone took charge of the children's meeting there in Feglish Hall. And out of those meetings, there arose a desire to build their own property, where there would be no restrictions or difficulties placed in their path to hold whatever meetings they wanted. Mr. Ivan Morrison drew the plans for the original building. You're really looking at the original building from that wall to this wall and these 2 side walls. That was the original building. The porch and the extensions around came later. I suppose what prompted the desire to build a permanent building here was that an old Methodist portable hall, which had been situated near Coe, not too far away, was obtained, dismantled, and when it was carted here, It was much wood, I have to tell you. It couldn't be reassembled. I think the particular day in which the work was done, it was bucketing out of the heavens, and it became very evident as the work progressed, there's no chance in the wide world of us ever getting this together again. But anyway, it was brought home here to Kilskerry. We should nearly have kept it and sold it off in bits as holy relics, but I'm sure it's long gone up in smoke by now. But anyway, that further prompted and accelerated the desire to build a permanent building here. Well, the work began. The men and the women that I have named already set about building a new hall, and the hall was opened on Saturday, the 17th of August, 1974, by Dr. Paisley. You'll see on the little display pictures of that event. I nearly think there would need to be an odd arrow and whatnot to the individuals in it, because they have aged so that you would hardly recognize them for your help thus identifying them. But that's what happened, and that's how it all came about. I trace it back to the workings of the Holy Spirit. How good it is we can trace the origins of this work here to the Spirit of God. Now, the witness that was thus to be housed in this place, because the building was only the shell, it was what was going to commence within the building that was important. And the model for the witness here, for there was a seeking of God and a searching of his word as to how do we go about establishing a Christian witness. For we're going to stand forth in the name of the Lord. We're going to speak, hopefully, with God's authority. And before we can do that, we must seek God and find out what it is he would have us do by way of structuring a witness. There's so many places today, and there's a proliferation of gatherings and meetings and so forth, opening here, there, and under, yonder, under all sorts of names and titles, and there's not one reference to what God says as to how they structure that witness. They just do it. Well, I'd like this, and I'd like that, and we could throw in a little bit of dancing, and oh, let's have some real jazzy music. Let's have that. And forget about wearing ties and wearing suits, and just come in your t-shirt and your jeans, and if you want to come barefoot, that's all right. And there's no reference to what God says in the establishing of these modern witnesses. But that's not how it was at the beginning of the work here in Kilskerry. They sought a model, and of course the model was found in that passage in Acts chapter 19. I'll read again the three verses in particular that are relevant. Speaking of Paul, it says, verse 8, he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers or different ones were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years. That is, that's how long Paul was in the area. The work continued on after Paul left. But Paul labored for 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Here was a successful establishing of a witness. A witness that worked within 2 years, a vast area that heard the gospel. So here's a pattern for us to follow. The fellowship that was to meet here in this building was to have first and foremost a saved membership. A saved membership. You could only become a member of the fellowship if you could give proof and evidence in your life of having received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. All too many churches today, you know, Just receive anybody and everybody. And they have within their membership those who don't believe the Bible at all. Men who own pubs. Men who own all sorts of worldly commercial enterprises, the very essence of which is against God. They have people whose businesses are open on the Lord's Day, in defiance of God's word. But there's not a word said. But that was not going to be the way with the work and witness that was beginning here. Saved membership. It was to be a separated witness. It would not be as many mission halls where back then, and still today, though evangelical in their outreach, and their pulpits would proclaim more or less the doctrines of Christ, but at the same time they kept fellowship with ecumenical churches, and frequently would have in their pulpits those who were ministers of ecumenical churches. And thus a mixed testimony was enunciated. They were neither one thing or the other. They were neither hot nor cold. Well, we weren't going to have that in Kilskerry. We were going to be a separated church. We were going to follow the doctrines and teaching of God's word, and also the example of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, which was a separatist witness. We were going to oppose everything ecumenical and erroneous. We're going to, like Paul, who disputed and persuaded. That was his ministry. We were going to dispute falsehood and the teaching of those who promoted something other than the teaching of God's word. And we would seek to persuade men and women, because the whole point of disputing was in order to persuade men and women of the truth of the gospel of Christ. Furthermore, it was to be a Protestant witness. The stand and the witness of the work here was to be Protestant. We were going to glory in what God did in the Protestant Reformation and seek to uphold the doctrines, the biblical doctrines, that undergirded that Protestant Reformation. Now, it was much disliked by the Church of Ireland here in the immediate area. We had already run into them, as it were, run foul of them, before the work and witness here had begun. And maybe that's what prompted us here, when the work started, to declare ourselves thoroughly Protestant, because there was a great need for a thoroughly Protestant witness in the area. So I've considered with you the motivation that started the work. I've shown you something of the model for the witness that we have in Acts 19, verses 8 to 10. And now let me just close by speaking about, or something of, the mercy the witness enjoyed. Souls were saved. Souls were saved. That was a token of God's mercy. It was a token of God's approval. Token of God's approval. Within 3 years of that date, the 17th of August, 1974, a congregation was constituted here. Wasn't very big. Wasn't even as big as the congregation we have here this morning. And no one's going to call this congregation big. But nevertheless, that little congregation was smaller. But such was the determination to establish a work, that they bound themselves together, applied to the presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church, were recognized as a congregation in 1977. Regular church services on the Lord's Day were commenced, midweek prayer meeting, children's meeting, and the young people's meeting were also commenced. I have to say that the Reverend John Greer, who was then recently made minister of Six Mile Cross Free Presbyterian Church, was a great help, as was the Reverend Michael Patrick. A great help in supplying the pulpit. At first it was only afternoon meetings, and I was still the minister of the congregation in Lispelaw, which had relocated to Enniskillen in 1972, and I didn't have too many free Sabbath evening, Sabbath afternoons And these brethren helped very, very much. And they were a great encouragement, and they're held in esteem by the people here who can remember those deaths. Souls were saved, I say. Battles were fought. When the display was being prepared, you began to search your memory and go back on the skimpy diary records that I kept at that time, and you realized how many wars and battles and conflicts and controversies you were engaged in, more than you actually could instantly recall. I was surprised, oh yes, I remember that rumpus, and so forth and so on, and far more than any notice board that has been prepared could ever contain. But there was a vigorous witness here, contending against the error in the area round about, and in Fermanagh and Tyrone, and indeed Northern Ireland generally. And we can look back with thanksgiving on the spirit of war that God put in our hearts, war against the enemies of God. I was installed as minister here in February 1978. In the meantime, a work had started in Keshe. I think I'm right in saying that was the fourth work that had sprung out of the Lispelaw congregation. There was Clogher Valley, then there was Corrigarry in County Monaghan, then there was Kilskerry here, then Keshe. So I became the minister here in February 1978. I always believe it very significant, you know, that God in His providence ordained that I become the minister here, called by the congregation and installed as the minister here. Almost the next day, I left for a visit to the United States, for I had been visiting there on an annual occasion, to a little township called Newtown Square, which was on the outskirts of the city of Philadelphia in Pennsylvania. And I had been meeting there with a number of Christians who were beginning to have a desire to form a Free Presbyterian congregation there. And when I went out in 1978, having just become the minister here, it was to discover that this group of people had moved to purchase a house and begin to prepare themselves a place of worship. The late Bob McNeil, who was an Ulster man but had been living out there since about 1928, he was instrumental in the labours and in this work. And I always loved pioneer work, and of course, as I threw myself in, for I was there for a month, into that work and that witness and the establishing of the regular Sabbath services in that converted farmhouse just on the outskirts of Newtown Square. Oh, what a burden I felt for that area. And I was approached by them, would you not come out? And I'm telling you now, I would have gone there if it was not that God had in His wisdom had me installed as the minister here in Kilskerry. If that hadn't have taken place, then things would have been very different for me and for my family, because I was so anxious for that little work and witness out there that God might be pleased to bless it. Well, as it turned out, God did bless it. You know the history of it. In the early 80s, the Reverend John Greer from Six Mile Cross went across, became the minister in Newtown Square Free Presbyterian Church. Under him, it grew, and God was pleased to bless it. He was given access to the radio, and they had a regular radio broadcast, which in turn brought in quite a few folk. And in the end, they outgrew that farmhouse, and they purchased a vacated church building, and there is still there a congregation, Malvern Free Presbyterian Church, and Dr. Allison is the minister there. So it's a strange providence that if the Lord had not made me the minister here in February, I might have ended up out there. But the Lord's all wise, all wise. Souls were saved here in the church services. And when the school began in 1979, the school saw conversions as well. Of course, the school was but an extension of our church. And so the work carried on in the public services on the Lord's Day and in the Sabbath school carried on in our day school, Monday to Friday. And it's not surprising, therefore, there should be fruits gathered in the school. And souls were saved in our school. I have to commend and honour the small number of believers who banded together here in 1978 and became a congregation. Because they took on the work, first of all, of building a manse. That was one of the requirements of a congregation. They had to have a place to house the minister. So they took on the building of a manse, the small little group. Then, a year later, in 1979, they took on the work of starting a school. That required an extension to be built at the back. They took on that work as well. Plus the expenses of running a school, this little group. And as God is my witness, I have everywhere recorded my praise for the courage and for the sacrificial giving of those engaged in the establishing of the work and the witness here. These things that I've just mentioned, I believe, denote the mercy and the blessing of God. They could not have been undertaken. They could not have been accomplished. They could not have been achieved without God's help. And if God's help was given, then this little work from its beginnings was of God. And to Him alone we give all the praise and the glory today. I trust that you will have a consciousness, and the young people in particular, they will have a consciousness that they meet in a place, they meet amongst the people, they are part of a witness here that has its origins with God. And that being so, we can with confidence call on Him to maintain it, to bless it, and to increase it. And that's what we need in these days. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts for His name's sake. We'll be gathering for a season of prayer, as you have heard, this afternoon. I trust that as many as possible will be able to make their way here. And at 3:30, we'll be turning again to the Word of God. But let's just conclude now with prayer. Let us pray. Gracious Father, who can tell what Thou hast done? Lord, as we attempt to do it, we feel so inadequate. We feel, Lord, that the record we give falls so far short of what the Lord has done. But I pray, O God, that impressed it will be upon the hearts of all here. O God, bless us as the activities of this day continue. Bless us in the time of prayer, and then again in the evening, Lord, when we consider a little more of what Thou didst do amongst us here. Bless the children. Please, Lord, bless the children. Let their hearts, their minds, their souls get caught up with the work of God. Answer prayer for us, we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen.